When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And spa good times less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Kirk Morrison is in for Shidano. Brian Cohen is in today for Big D. And Lindsay Baseball is standing by with what we all need to know.
All right, Cappy, so we've talked a little bit on the show about Waymo, those robo taxis, right? And how they were piloting, I guess that's what you call it, doing a test in LA of whether or not they're going to be able to operate here. Yeah. And it turns out that they officially are going to begin cruising the streets of LA.
No.
As of tomorrow.
No.
Really?
And listen to this.
Let me hear.
They're going to be giving away free rides in the Waymos for the next couple of weeks to try and get people to, you know, buy in.
Okay. I'm looking online because I want to tell you something. The day that you told us about this, I downloaded their app. And they sent me a message that said, hey, you have to have like a special code to be part of our initial group. I'm like, screw you guys.
That was when they were doing like the pilot, you know, the testing. Right. But now they're officially launching tomorrow and it's going to be free, I think, for like the next 2 weeks. And I actually took a picture when I was driving today because I drove over and I saw one right in front of me.
It's crazy, the guy.
I was turning into the parking garage. And the Waymo totally made an illegal U-turn right there. And I was just like, oh, no, this is bad.
Well, I just opened the app, and it says, we've added you to the L.A. wait list. I don't want to be on your wait list,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, well, again,
do
if
they know who you are?
Paying
right.
attention, Cap.
Tell them,
Kirk.
It
launches tomorrow. Tomorrow, you'll be able to get your rides.
Okay.
For free.
Yeah, I've already seen enough influencers on Instagram already like, oh, my God, watch us. We're going to go down to downtown Scottsdale. And then they hopped in the vehicle, and they're like, oh, my God, look what's going on. And then, you know, obviously the Waymo takes you to the bars, drop you off, and it's like, oh, my God, it was so fun. I should try it.
It's fun riding in a car.
You should try it. It was like, no, I was scared at first, but look, it's just a normal car.
So wait, there's actually a really funny video of this grandpa. This girl, like, calls a Waymo for her grandpa, and she doesn't tell him. And she's like, oh, grandpa, I got you a taxi. And he's like, it's not one of those Uber things, right? And she's like, oh, no, it's just a regular taxi. And he gets in, and he's like, there's no driver.
Ain't no driver.
What? And she's like, oh, it's okay. It's a robot. He goes, oh, no, I'm not getting in that.
I feel
and
you, Grandpa.
Like, nope.
I feel
he
you,
says,
Grandpa.
No.
I'm not there yet, Cappy. Lindsay, I'm not doing that. I can't do it. I'm not there yet to get in a vehicle without a driver. I'm just not doing that.
I've seen them all over downtown LA like the past 2 weeks. And like I said, I don't know. I feel like they're driving. It's very... It looks like a brand new driver. Like the way that they drive, it's like a 16-year-old just got the license.
Well, if you in a rush, you better not get one, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're
sure.
trying to get to LAX, no, yep. you better not take the Waymo.
No, don't do it.
Kirk, don't I get just your little Uber X and you good to go. Somebody going to take care of you. Hey, man, I'm trying to get to LAX. I had a dude the other day. Took me to LAX. And I was like, oh, man, there's traffic. I got to get there, man. I'm boarding my flight in 30 minutes. Don't worry. Sit back.
Oh, yeah, those are the
he
best.
He took me some, boom, boom, boom. I'm like, he hit a left, right, boom. He almost drove inside the tarmac. I don't know how he did it. It was crazy. But you know what? It was cool, though. I was like, wow. See, that's what I'm talking about. Waymo not doing that. So, I would have missed my flight hadn't rolled with
yeah.
Waymo.
Right, there's nobody to complain to. Hey, let's go. Pick it up here, will you, pal? Let's go. I mean, who
ride,
do you talk to?
Yeah, do you ride like Uber Black? Because I guess Uber Black and up, they can tell the destination before, like, so they know that they're going to the airport, and that's what all the airport riders, like the airport drivers, they know. And it's like they're a whole other like level of drivers, the airport guys, because they know, like, I can make some money because this person could be going like late or whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like for the most part, when you get like the good airport drivers, to your point, like they're figuring it out, they're getting there quick.
You know,
shout
though,
out to the airport
yes.
drivers.
But you
they
know, Kirk, I got to tell you. Yeah. Last week, when Lindsay first told me about Waymo, I didn't know what Waymo was.
Okay.
I don't follow the same influencers that start every sentence with, oh, my God. I don't follow those girls. Okay?
Yeah, yours are more worried about deboning chicken, but that's later.
Right. That's
just,
right.
They pop up in the feed, right, yeah. in the reels. You know.
So I first was like, I'm not driving in the back seat of a car with no driver. But then I thought to myself, wait a second. I get into Ubers all the time,
right.
sit in the back seat, play on my phone, don't talk to the driver, don't know him or her, don't know what their story is, and just figure, you know what, if we get into an accident, I'm going to sue Uber.
Right.
So I don't really, like, I trust people I don't know to drive me. Why wouldn't I trust a computer to drive me?
I did see someone try to steal a Waymo
yeah,
the other day.
Yeah, that was like a week ago.
Somebody tried to steal
one. And then he couldn't figure it out. He couldn't figure it out. And so then the car starts talking to him. It's like, excuse me, sir, please get out of the Waymo. And
yes.
He didn't listen. And
then
so they came
arrested,
and arrested
right?
him.
And they
yeah.
got arrested.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's funny.
Brian Cohen, will you drive or will you ride in a Waymo, a driverless vehicle?
I was kind of thinking no. Can you hear me?
No, not really.
Turn it up a little bit. There you go. There you go. Go a little bit louder.
I was kind of thinking no, but when you said you trust random people, you know, so I might give it a shot.
Yeah. I mean, I totally trust random drivers.
Come on,
I don't even talk to them. I don't even pay attention. I'm just in the back.
But at least
on my phone.
You got to understand, Uber has a rating, so you know what you're working with. You work with somebody, and they got a 4.7, 4.8, 4.9. You know, this is cool. This is the only time I like that number, right? It's like my 40-time numbers, you know what I'm saying? anything 4 or 5 and above, I'm like, all right, cool. That's all right. That's not that bad when it comes to Uber.
That's great. The
less than 4 or 5, we're not doing it. But anyway, there is a trust, and then you like, it does give me a sense of trust knowing they've like, this is their 13th, 100th ride. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
Before you get on a Waymo, I'm just not there yet, man. Just
well,
I
need to download the app and
there.
See, like, because maybe that's part of the infrastructure with the app. Like, oh, this Waymo is given however many rides, you know?
No,
I need
because you have to be able to rate them, right?
That's right. You need to have a success rate.
Hey,
that's right, Brian.
Lindsay, guess what? You tried out for us. How about that?
Yeah, Lindsay. Yeah. Come on, baseball.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're the guinea
all
pig.
Right. Okay.
Go test it out.
Someone's got to come with me, though. Because if I'm going down, I'm not going down alone.
No.
All right. Well, that's what you need to know being brought to us by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Now, did I just see Bergman walk into the studio?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just telling him about the Waymo. I said that'd be a good bit.
Okay.
Have social go with us in a Waymo.
And Bergie, let him jump in for one quick second here because you know what? I wanted to talk to Kirk about the Lakers and a real-life succession situation,
mm-hmm.
and we will get there in a matter of moments. But Berg, I want to know what Bergman did here. Bergman is just now, he wants to be part of the creating of a mess around this radio station. So Bergie told Morales that I said that Imaging Tuesday is better as Recorded Imaging Tuesday. Here he comes.
Here comes
Bergie.
He's ready.
Right, here comes Bergie.
Here it is. Pot him up. Here we go.
Yo.
Bergie.
Hey. Hi, Cappy.
Hi, buddy.
Why'd you tell me those things?
Well, why did you tell Chris those things?
I mean, because that's what usually when I tell you things, you know what you didn't do, Cappy?
Tell me. Why?
It's not for air.
I didn't tell you it wasn't for air.
You didn't say it's not for air. Just like I had to tell you it wasn't for air, and you came through. You came through with me, but you didn't come through. You didn't say it to me. I'm sorry.
Well,
what
I told Morales was, I said, Bergie's got it wrong. I said, what happened was, is Sedano said to me, right? Sedano said to me, hey, I think Live Imaging Tuesday is better as Recorded Imaging Tuesday, and then I said to him, wait. You think Live Imaging Tuesday is better as Recorded Imaging Tuesday? And then you, Bergie, overheard that conversation,
maybe.
And then you reported it to Morales, and that's what happened.
That's just what I do. If I hear something, I run directly to Morales, and I tell him everything.
And then
always.
He told me,
every
and then
single
he told
time.
Me, he told me I'm a scumbag rat.
Yeah, he likes to call you a scumbag rat.
And a rat.
But he does it on the air. He says it directly to you.
That's true, he
and
does.
And if you were sitting next to him, he would say it right to your face.
That's right, he would.
And that's kind of respectable, no?
Yeah, I think so. So
it's a real-life episode of Law & Order. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to get to the bottom of it.
Like, Kirk, you understand. Like, if Morales was sitting right here and he was just calling you a scumbag rat to your face, what would you do?
I let him have it.
yes, you would. You 100% would.
Come on, man. Yeah, that's what got to put it all together, right?
So Morales comes in looking to start crap today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he used you, Bergie. He used you as his pawn in his game.
You know, that's it's everyone's pawns around here.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Now, are you ready for pickleball?
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm playing tomorrow. I played last week. I played like 3-4 times in the last couple of weeks, so yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm excited.
Okay. And Kirk,
CY.
are you ready, Kirk? Have you played at all?
I've been playing, so I got a little spot that I go to,
nice.
Undisclosed, off of Sepulveda, Wilshire. But
they
got a little spot over there. So I've just been, you know, getting some things in. I actually have a swing coach. I haven't worked with him yet, but he's just got a swing coach. It just sounds cool,
you,
right?
You, you have
I got
it,
a swing coach.
Cool.
We don't work together, but hey, I got a swing coach.
Like a swing coach for golf? You
yeah.
got one for pickleball?
I got
pickleball?
A swing coach, yeah. yeah. You know? It's basically just these guys. Because you ever watch, like, you know, these tennis courts, and you have these, you know, people doing taking lessons. So I just watched a group lesson one time. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And they had a little pickleball lesson over there. So they told me to come back Friday.
Okay. And so you're going to just watch?
I'm going to participate Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you and Mario and Bergie, did you say you and the Big CY,
the
Clinton
Big
Yates?
Big CY, yeah. Our yes. team name is the Berg CY.
Oh, really?
Berg yeah, CY. The Berg CY.
Is
yeah.
is Big CY going to make you, like, do proper calisthenics before you guys play?
So when I get there, he actually has already told me he wants us to do three laps around. We have to do 25 push-ups, 25 jumping jacks,
and do
a full stretch.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, y'all serious about this?
Well, because you remember, Kirk, when the Big CY was managing our softball club a couple years ago.
Yes,
and was. You might attribute your success in that game, those multiple home runs, to the Big CY's pregame routine.
You're right.
Three
you're
home
right.
runs.
He did. I forgot about that, man. CY did put us through it, actually.
Everyone line up. We're throwing long toss. Start off with short. Make sure that it's only 2 feet apart at first right. and move slowly
back to
50 feet.
Let's go. Feet together, hands down to your right. feet. Let's go. Let's go. Let's stretch it out here. Let's stretch it out.
Love it. Love it.
I love
it.
That guy.
All right,
we're
Bergie.
So serious.
Well, good luck to you, man.
Thanks, man.
Good luck to you.
I love the name Dueling Harlins, by the way.
Yeah, see, Kirk, we changed our team name. Okay. Last year, we were Spicy and Kosher.
Okay.
Okay,
I
for
like
a little
that.
Sedano
like
and Cap, uh-huh. you know. But this year, we're Dueling Harlins.
Dueling Harlins. Okay.
Yeah. You don't know why that is, do you?
No, I don't. No.
Because George and I both do a Kevin Harlan impression.
Okay.
So we'll be like this. We'll be like, here's LeBron James. He's got the yellow shorts with the yellow tank top with the 23 across his chest with yes. the purple 2 yes. and the purple 3 with the white trim. He's got the white undershorts down to his knee. And on his right arm, he's got the white Nike sleeve. On his white arm, he's got the black beard that he clearly just dyed with Just for Men. On the right side that was gray, and here's LeBron James for 3. So we do these Dueling Harlins to each other.
Wait, Brian has George's.
Kelsey turns around after the catch, points right to the skybox where Taylor Swift is wearing a red gown with that looks like it has some Chiefs logos on it.
And then I come back to Dueling Harlins. I say, here's D'Angelo Russell. He's got on the yellow top with the yellow shorts. He's got the beehive hairdo tonight, and that's from 3. You know?
You know what the craziest part about all of this is, Cappy? Is that I told Kevin Harlan this at the NFC Championship game because I went to the Westwood One booth to say hi to him and Kurt Warner. And I said, look, there's not a lot of people who I fan out when I meet. But I said, Kevin, you're the hardest working guy that I know. And I appreciate your description, the descriptive word that you use, that when I listen to him on radio or even television, I almost feel as like I'm sitting right next to him.
Oh, big time.
And I told him that. And his daughter, Olivia, actually was a sideline reporter for one of my teams in college football as well. So I told him about the work that they do. And I just said, look, man, I don't know how you do it, Kevin, but you do it. So I even take it a step further. His engineer, I found out, he actually, his microphone, like our normal headset,
right?
His frequency is turned to like a number that only Kevin Harlan can hear.
That's wild.
He like, you just think like, oh, okay, these guys, oh, he's an announcer. Okay, that's great. No, he actually has perfected announcing in a way that most people can't do.
Do you think the producer is telling him what trim is? Like, it's a white trim.
Right.
The
no, he does. He's got a spotter doing that.
He's got right. No, that is all him. It's the Raider logo on the left side of the helmet. Right. It's the silver pants, the black top with the silver numbers.
Yeah.
And it's going left to right as that the right toe
right.
hits the leather of the football, and we're off. Super Bowl 58. Here in Las Vegas, the lights, the spectacles, with the sphere right over the top.
One of my favorites
Airport
is
to the left.
When
not
he's doing
bad,
a game,
Kirk. Not bad.
Kirk, you need to be part of Dueling Harlins. Okay. One of the things he'll do during a game is I'm not joking, he'll have a stopwatch with him. He'll go, Here's the punt. It's the right-footed punt, and it's a spiral, a perfect spiral up in the air, and it's a 57-yard punt with a 4.99 hang time. And he doesn't just make it up. He's literally got a stopwatch in his hand.
Is
so that
real?
He can tell you that it's a 4.99 hang time.
He actually has a stopwatch in his
true
hand.
Story.
True story. That's amazing.
And
good for him.
I know I'm loving, you know, Kevin Harlan up, and I love the dueling Harlans, but we get a lot of Kevin Harlan over the next couple weeks with NCAA March Madness.
Yep.
And his college basketball calls are even bigger because usually he's like doing an upset. So I forgot what game I was. It was trending on social media, but I forgot what game it was. Was it last year? Whoever got knocked out early on, he had the game, like a three-pointer. I don't know, was it Fordham? I don't know, one of these schools. But he is, oh, my God. I get
Kirk,
excited.
You know, for years I did Monday Night Football with Kevin and with Kurt Warner. Mm-hmm. And when they would throw things down to me, I'd be like, okay, Kevin, they're at the 10-yard line. The trainer has come onto the field. He's looking at the right knee. No, now he's looking at the right ankle. And I would, like, go through all these descriptions. The grass is really green, but there's a brown patch right next to it where it's been a little bit chewed up. I would go into these crazy-ass descriptions because he would kind of force you. To just be so descriptive. So.
I love it.
All right, listen, stick around because I mentioned this before. Mm-hmm. The Lakers have a real-life succession situation. Kirk Morrison is in for Sedano. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. Oh, man. Kirk Morrison is in for Sedano. It's Sedano and Cap. Let it go, man.
Do you believe in love?
You know, Cap, she's kind of got like that Billy Ocean this going on, doesn't she?
She does a little bit. She really does.
Like the singing it from like the gut.
Sing it, Cher. Just looking at the Circle of Trust. Shout out to the Circle.
Okay.
Big E says, so Chris Morales, you're telling me that GKB had a meeting today about you and Cap eating a glizzy end to end. Yeah, these are the sorts of business conversations we're having around here.
That's,
you know,
what's up.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely right. Crypto Ray is trying to get me to buy into crypto. Do you have any cryptocurrency, Kirk Morrison?
I do.
You do? What do you got?
I'm not going to let you know what I got.
Why
Come
not?
On, man.
Tell a brother.
Hey,
let
man.
Me hear.
I'm just saying I'm doing all right right now. You know?
Everyone in the crypto world is doing all right.
Doing
all
right.
Of it, Cap. Even the So what happens is the Bitcoin shoots up. This is like the in the past, the history.
Correct.
The Bitcoin will shoot up, and then as it starts to kind of like level off or even go down, then the altcoins start to shoot up.
Yeah. Okay.
So when the Bitcoin starts rising, that's when you buy the altcoins.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's
then when it levels out, those go up.
That's what crypto's telling me. He's telling me something about some kind of circle coin.
There's a circle coin. There's like a cat coin.
So a lot of good things are happening right now. But it's been good. Okay. But it's one of those situations where your portfolio, when you set it, don't look at it again. Just don't look at it because it'll drive you crazy.
I did that for my mom, and she couldn't believe it when she opened it like 2 years later because I had it set up so she was putting in $2 a week.
Okay.
And she had no idea what it was. I tried explaining it to her, and I was like, whatever. And so then like a year later, I reminded her about it. She's like, whatever. When I went home recently in December.
You opened it up.
I had her open it up, and she was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I was like, see, that was $2 a week. I'm like, look what you did. And she was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I have not gotten into the crypto.
So whenever you see someone, Cap, with the emoji of the rocket, like a little rocket emoji, to the moon, baby, to the moon.
Taking off, huh?
Taking off, baby.
I feel you.
Taking off to the moon.
So, Kirk, I got to tell you this story. It popped up earlier today, and I just couldn't believe it when I read it. So have you followed the story that Aaron Rodgers is potentially being courted to be a vice presidential running mate with Robert F. Kennedy? Have you read about this?
I have read this.
Okay.
Some kind of way, we've had to figure a way to get Aaron Rodgers into NFL or just conversation because no one was talking about him over the last couple weeks, by the way. And so it just so happened that free agency starts with the NFL and everyone's talking about Russell Wilson and
Kirk Cousins,
everybody. Yeah. But guess what? Aaron Rodgers said, don't forget about me. So, yeah, I've heard about this presidential teaming up.
Yeah,
for Aaron Rodgers.
I believe that Aaron Rodgers could be the vice president of the United States, also simultaneously be the quarterback of the New York Jets. I believe he can do it.
He can do it.
Because the vice president. Yeah, well, because the vice president of the United States doesn't do anything.
Okay.
I mean, anybody could do that job. Okay.
Right.
So he could do it. Right. He could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, to me, Aaron Rodgers is not a vice president. He's a president. Okay, I just don't see him as taking a back seat to anybody. I see him as being, no, I got to be the president. You be the vice president. Now, outside of Aaron Rodgers, the talk was Jesse the Body Ventura. I'm a huge Jesse the Body fan, okay? Do you know Jesse the Body's work?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm a huge Jesse the Body fan from going back to his old days in the American Wrestling Alliance, him becoming a movie star. I don't know what he stands for politically, but he was right. The governor of the state of Minnesota. He has written books. I know he's got, you know, all kinds of conspiracy theories, but I really don't know much about what he stands for, or what his politics are. I don't care. I just love him for the boa and you know, the act. I love Jesse the Body Ventura. Mm-hmm. So he's also a name that has popped up. So all of a sudden, sports celebrity names have popped up into the presidential race. And then today, things got really weird. I mentioned how the Lakers have a succession situation. If you watched the series Succession, I don't mean to blow it for anybody. How far into it are you, Kirk?
Just early stages. Okay. Early stage. It's one of those binge watchers. And I use my time in traveling to get caught up this past football season. Watched The Wire first time. I know. Came
never
late
seen
to the
it.
Party.
I know. I've never seen it.
So Succession is next up on the list. How about that?
I think you're going to love Succession. I actually started it, then went away from it. Then Mason and Ireland were so into it, so they got me into it. And then I watched it, and I caught up, and I loved it. It was great. But you see, I don't want to blow it for you, but here's the thing. In Succession, it's a rich family with a patriarch father who is, you know, who oversees everything. And then you have kind of a super smart, aggressive daughter who is kind of one of the major players in the family. And then you've got some brothers that are, I don't know, sometimes they're sharp, sometimes they're big dummies. And then you got one brother that is a black sheep to the family. He's like not really welcome at the party, you know? They take care of him, but they think he's a big dummy.
Okay.
The Lakers today find out that Jeannie Buss's brother, Johnny Buss, according to reports, is announcing his candidacy to run for president of the United States of America. Mm. Johnny Buss, Jeannie's older brother, according to reports, is running for president.
Wow.
Yeah, take that in. Let that marinate a little bit.
I like that they're Johnny and Jeannie. That's adorable.
2024, or are we talking 2028?
Great question.
That's what I thought. Need to know.
That's what I thought. I was like, what does he mean? Does he mean like he's announcing his candidacy for like the next election, or does he mean this one? Because this one, we're kind of already.
I think we're already all in.
Yeah.
I don't think he can do the write-in votes at this point in time.
That's kind of what I was wondering.
Yeah. But apparently, I mean, according to the reports that I'm reading, he intends to address racial injustice, economic inequality, and criminal justice reform.
There you go.
So apparently, Johnny Buss, Jeannie's older brother, part Laker owner, from out of nowhere, is deciding he's going to run for president. And for those of you that have watched Succession, you kind of get why it's a succession situation.
Right.
And Kirk, at some point, you'll catch up and you'll get it too.
So it's the Buss family. That's what it is.
I don't quite understand this move by Johnny Buss. Because here's what I would do. If I were Johnny Buss, here's what I would have done.
What?
If I was planning on running for president in mid-March, after we're about to have like the longest election cycle of head-to-head competition between March and November, here's what I would have done if I were Johnny Buss. The entire basketball season, I would have been highly visible. I'd have been at every game. I'd have been sitting courtside. Right. I'd have been doing interviews. If I were Johnny Buss, I'd have called me and Sedano and gone, hey, guys, it's Johnny Buss. Hey, Johnny, how you doing? What's up, JB?
Okay.
And be like, hey, listen, what can we do for you? He'd be like, listen, can I come on the show, like maybe be a weekly contributor? We'll talk Lakers, we'll nonsense, you know, just to be a lot of fun. And we'd probably be like, okay, what the hell? And then he would come on every week. We'd talk some Lakers. And then today he would call us and he'd go, guys, did you hear? I'm running for president of the United States. Like, he would have visibility. This is coming from out of nowhere. So, listen, I can only tell you this. You can Google this for yourself. Johnny Buss running for president. And then you can figure
Google
out.
It. I love how you said it. You can
is
Google
this
it
a
yourself.
Distraction? The reason, is this a distraction for the Lakers, though? Could this be a distraction? Or does this help Johnny Buss? What if the Lakers win the championship this year? He's front and center. And he's over there with Johnny Buss 2028. Or is it Johnny Buss 2024? What do we know? Is this now his hype train? You know what I mean? Like, could he be leveraging his his what I guess his ownership in the Lakers organization to get to a president candidacy?
I don't know, man. If I were him, I'd be sucking up to LeBron going, will you please endorse me?
I was going
to
say maybe that's his angle. LeBron, you're going to be retiring by 2028. Like, you could be my running mate. Like, screw this whole Aaron Rodgers thing. I'm going to pick you.
Yeah, you LeBron go. Would laugh at him. Dude, listen, the reason I say Google it is, Google Johnny Buss running for president, because it may sound completely unbelievable to you, as it did to me earlier, and I've just been Googling it, and there's articles everywhere. And so whether it's true or false, I don't really have the answer. I just know that it's all out there all over the internet.
Does he have a shot? That's all we got. Does he have a shot?
Maybe if he gets Aaron Rodgers to be his vice presidential running mate, perhaps. Or Jesse the Body Ventura.
But what if he asks LeBron?
LeBron ain't going to have it, no.
I'm just saying, he could. What if he asks LeBron as your vice president?
He'd be a good politician. Yeah. He's very aware.
The Bus James 2028?
No, the James Bust.
I was
going
to say that's what you would have to call it.
Right. This is not going. Hey, maybe. Let me tell you something.
Maybe
on Friday night when LeBron and Jeannie were sitting around giggling it up, maybe that's what they were laughing at. Mm-hmm. Hey, did you hear about my brother? No, hey, tell me. He's running for president.
First of all, happy Women's International Women's Day. Yep. Oh, LeBron, you're so great. Oh my God, thank you. All right, there we go. I just wanted to throw it out there.
All right, there you go. Hey, let me tell you guys that Radio Tinder is right around the corner. But before we get there, Kirk, are you possibly playing Prize Picks at all? If not, I'd love to introduce you to Prize Picks. Have you ever heard of Prize Picks?
Yes, I know what Prize Picks is. I dabble, but I'm more of a helper. I haven't did it myself, but I, you know, if you need me, you can follow me. I can do it.
Let me tell you what I did last night. Last night, I had Giannis to score more than 27.5 points. He scored 30. Mm. And I had a hockey player from the Florida Panthers named Matthew Tkachuk to have more than 1.5 hits. He had 4. So I won last night. I turned $20 into $60. Now, today, I'm still waiting on this play. I took last night Jalen Brunson, and I put him together with a hockey guy named Connor Bedard. These two guys needed to have 5.5 three-pointers made and shots on goal combined. They had 9 total. Now, I'm waiting for tomorrow because there's a 17-year-old dart-throwing phenom named Luke Littler, and I need him to have more than 3.5 180s. So when you think about it, I'm combining a dart thrower somewhere in Europe with a hockey guy and
an NBA
guy. And
what time does a dart thrower start at, like 2 a.m.?
This is tomorrow at 1:15 p.m., so I will know by 1:30 whether or not I win this play.
Oh, man, and then that hurts.
For tomorrow, I've taken James Harden. They gave us an 86% discount on James Harden. I've got James Harden tomorrow to score more than 3.14 points. And tonight, I've got De'Aaron Fox for the Kings. They're playing against the Lakers. And I put him together with Alex Ovechkin, the hockey player. And they need to combine for more than 5.5 three-pointers made and shots on goal. Let me tell you something. Prize Picks has changed the way I watch sports. Because I wasn't even watching hockey. I didn't even know that there was pro dart throwing, okay? Prize Picks has changed the way I watch sports. And I got action on everything. You want to have a great time? Join me and 3 million other people that are having a great time playing Prize Picks. Here's what you do. Download the Prize Picks app. Use my code Cappy, K-A-P-P-Y. Prize Picks app, use my code Cappy. They will match your first deposit 100% up to $100. So if you put in $100, now you got $200 to play. You put in $50, they put in $50, you got $100 to play. Download the Prize Picks app and use my code Cappy.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks, Christopher. All right, so, you know, we're a little behind, but, you know, so it might be a little abbreviated, somewhat abbreviated.
Well, what's new?
Tinder.
What's new around here? I mean, we don't operate the clock well around here.
You're right. That's true. All right. So the CEO of Bumble, the dating app where women are required to message first, is rethinking the app's signature feature.
Oh, mm-hmm. What's that?
Well, the selling point of Bumble since its inception 10 years ago was that women make the first move.
Correct.
You know, it's like a mission of female empowerment.
Yes.
But now Bumble's new CEO said that she's reconsidering women making the first move entirely because a lot of their customers feel that it's a burden.
Yes.
So you guys are all on the other side of this. As a guy, would you prefer a dating app where the woman must engage first? Swipe left or swipe right, Kirk?
I am swiping left. Only because I've talked to my buddies about this. I got a couple single buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this was a conversation yesterday. And he was like, man. And he put up a picture of a young lady. Mm-hmm. And he was like, man, I matched. And he says, I'm just waiting for her a message.
Oh.
And then he says, man, this Bumblebee slow, dog.
Yeah.
So that was his message. This Bumblebee slow, dog.
I think you have to do it within like the first day or two or something. Otherwise, like you're unmatched.
Yes.
So you only have a short period of time to respond to the guy.
So that's what he says, that the Bumblebee slow, dog. So basically, it was a nice young girl. I was like, oh, man, that looks, you know, she looks like your type, bro. Like, you know, that's all you. And he was just like, this Bumblebee slow, though. Because like you have to wait, and then I guess it may not happen.
When you said it, I pictured this like big fat bumblebee flying in the air all slow. You know, like, man, look at that bumblebee. That bumblebee's slow, dog. Yeah. But no, you meant Bumble is slow. Yeah, yeah, it'd be slow.
Because he's permanently banned from Tinder, by the way.
Why?
I am too. Want to know why?
Yeah, so he's what the – all these terminologies, I have no idea, but this is why you got to stay hip in the group chat. So my boy, he's what they call perma. Didn't know what that is. I'm like, what do you mean?
I don't know what that means.
What is perma? What do you mean? What is perma?
Has something to do with his hairdo?
No, perma.
Stop.
Perma is the term for being permanently banned from Tinder.
But what did he do?
I guess he was dating one woman, then dating another, and then another one found out, and then for some reason,
that's the whole point of it, isn't it?
All he knows is that he got perma, so he was permanently banned, and he still hasn't. He's actually called to Tinder and said, "Hey, why am I banned?"
So yeah, you want to know why? Dumped, and then she reported him, so he got banned. That's ridiculous.
Hey, let me tell you something. The reason he's calling is because that was his app that got him a ton of action.
Yes, it was.
You know,
yes,
and it's like once he's off Tinder, he's done.
Well,
why'd you get banned?
Because that bumblebee slow, dog.
That's right. Exactly. It'd be slow.
So,
Lindsay Baseball, why'd you get banned?
Because back when I was producing Mason in Ireland, there was a fad at one point where one of the filters on one of the apps made you the opposite sex. So, you know, you can make guys into girls and girls into guys. And it was like, oh, let's see what Mason and Ireland would look like as women.
Okay.
And so we posted it on social media, like, who's more attractive, who would get more dates. And then John was like, we should really do that. Like, who do you think would get more dates, like female me or female Mason? So we took the pictures and I made like fake Tinder profiles for both of them as their female versions of them to see who got more matches over like the course of 24 hours. And then like a couple days later, once the bit was over, like I went to log into my actual real Tinder account and they're like, you're banned for having multiple accounts and impersonating somebody else. And
perma.
I was just like, really? Really?
Kirk, why don't you hook up your friend who's perma with Lindsay Baseball who's perma?
There we go. I could be the matchmaker.
I don't go on the dating apps anymore anyway, but it was still like a fun thing to do when you're like sitting around with your friends like swiping and being like, oh, look at this guy. Yeah.
So just to be clear on one thing, I didn't know this. So Bumble, as a guy, you can't reach out to a girl. You have to wait for the girl to reach out to the guy?
Correct.
Okay, that is ridiculous because as a guy, like you're saying, you're sitting there on the other end of it and you're going, yo.
Yo, what up?
You gonna reach out to me or what here, girl?
And as like, a woman, like when I was actively on the dating apps, I think they're trash, but when I was like looking at it, I forget to go on it or I'm busy or whatever, and it's like if you match with someone and you have to be like, oh, I gotta get back on there within one day, and that's how they keep you engaged, that's how they keep you on there, is because you only have 24 hours to respond, and it's like, I don't got time for all that.
I think that's why their numbers must be down over at Bumble.
Probably.
So they're trying to get it back going again.
Because Bumble be slow.
Bumble be slow, dog. Don't forget about the dog part. All right, Baseball, give us another one.
All right, so Peyton Manning is reportedly trying to expand the Omaha Productions family and sign a hot new talent who's on the market, Bill Belichick. So Manning is reportedly actively pursuing Belichick, who is without a job for the first time in 25 years. Omaha Productions apparently wants to pursue the alternate broadcast route for Belichick and Nick Saban together.
Ooh.
So it's not yet known if ESPN is interested in a Manning cast spinoff, but they are reportedly interested in Belichick. So would you watch a Belichick-Nick Saban alternate broadcast? Swipe left or swipe right, Cappy?
I will swipe right. I would watch it because I think it would be interesting like once. In other words, to hear the way two legendary coaches see and analyze the game, I would be interested. However, two old guys who both seem like bitter, angry dudes, I don't think I could hang with those guys very long. You know, I mean, Belichick is, I can put it to you this way. The New England Patriots walking around that building right now, and I'm not talking about new coaches because, you know, they weren't there.
Right.
But, like, the people who've worked there for all these years, they're like, hey, when he was a jerk, we accepted it because he was winning. But when he was losing, nobody wanted to accept his being a jerk to everybody. So, Belichick doesn't seem like a fun guy. And Saban, this whole thing that he did the other day as he's sitting next to a senator and talking about NIL, he seems like a bitter dude. I don't think I could hang with those two guys. What do you think, Kirk?
I'm swiping right, but with a contingency. I would love to see them do like a 15-minute halftime. Like,
okay,
Saban and Belichick make halftime adjustments. Because, first of all,
you
we're going to
sell
see,
them that idea.
Remember, Nick Saban is already going to be on ESPN's College Game Day already.
Yeah, College Game
so
Day,
I'm right. already got enough Saban on Saturday. I'm good with that. I don't need more Saban on Monday Night Football or whenever these alternate broadcasts. Give me 15 minutes of Saban because have we already saw what Bill Belichick's kitchen looks like? Remember that? what it looked like during the draft?
Like
and he had that
his
dog.
Nantucket Cottage.
The Nantucket Cottage with the dog. I don't want to see the I want to say he still had plaster, right?
Yeah, it's like my grandma's house.
It's like I don't want to see that. So that's why I'm going against. I don't want to see Bill Belichick's home that looks like it was built in the 1800s.
I feel like the two of them together would be extremely boring. Like, yeah,
yes.
If you're like a hardcore football guy, I'm sure it would be great, fascinating, like conversations or stories about the but like on TV talking about like a game going on right now, I don't really see the appeal.
But
in that
over
at all.
Under on the age demographic of that
production. Well, that's the problem, right? I mean, ESPN is not going after the 75-year-old guy. You know
I don't
what I mean?
Think even old guys want to see that. And it
I'm
just
not sure.
I don't know who wants to watch Bill Belichick give his one word answers like, yep.
Well, I'll tell you the most,
a lot of guys who play pickleball above 50.
the most entertaining I've ever seen Bill Belichick was an interview on YouTube with a guy named Ray Dalio. Have you guys ever heard of Ray Dalio?
Nope.
No, I got to look it up.
Ray Dalio is a guy who wrote a book called Principles. He's one of the most famous and wealthy like hedge fund guys on the planet. And Ray does all this kind of like motivational business stuff. And he sits down with Belichick, and Belichick had read his book, Principles. And it's essentially Belichick trying to compare business with football. And Dalio kind of, you know, kind of getting into him. Check it out, Kirk. I think you might find it entertaining because it was the most entertaining I've ever seen Belichick was with Ray Dalio. There you go. All right, is that Radio Tinder baseball?
That's it for Radio Tinder.
All right, it's presented by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning artisanal batch tequila. And the Cartosian brothers are the men, and their entire staff and their crew. We hang out with them quite a bit, as a matter of fact, and we have great times with Tequila Mandala. All right, stick around, because coming up, I want Kirk Morrison to jump into a debate that Sedano and I have been having here over the last couple of weeks, and will continue as the top three quarterbacks will all do their private workouts, including next week at USC with Caleb Williams. I want Kirk to jump into the debate next on Sedano and Cap here on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Oh, we still playing Diddy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I just said he's canceled.
We still playing Diddy, huh? Okay.
Who canceled him?
He's canceled.
No. Oh, really? I didn't know he was canceled.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. Listen, Cappy, he's a bad guy. I probably shouldn't have even put it on there now that I think of it. He's a bad guy.
I didn't know.
So we still playing Diddy, huh?
He's a bad guy. He's one of the worst guys. You know what they say about that guy, Suge Knight? They say Diddy's 10 times worse than Suge Knight.
Really? I mean, I knew Kanye got canceled because Kanye's a bad guy.
This is nothing like Kanye. Kanye is a saint compared to Diddy.
The way Cappy was shaking in that video, I thought he may get a lawsuit with Diddy.
Oh,
Now, Kirk Morrison, what did you think of this video? This video has gone completely viral.
Yeah, man.
There are that video is like a minute and change, and it's been watched over 100 hours.
Yes. The way that you talk about the video, though, Cappy.
Yeah.
I think you're proud of this. You love this video, huh? Is this your first time going viral? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you got to understand, Kirk, I was there on Venice Beach this weekend.
I saw it. I've seen the video.
Not something I normally do.
Okay.
And when the guys in the dance troupe were like, "Yo, we need all the white guys out here, all the white guys," I was hiding behind my girlfriend.
Okay.
Then once they pulled me up there, I was like, no, I'm the wrong guy. Like, no, you're the right guy. Then they pulled me up, and when they put the mic in front of my face and they said, "What's your name?" I was like, what do I say? And now I see she's videotaping the whole thing, so that's when I turned it on. You know, people call me Cappy kind of a deal. And then the one dude is like, "Oh, really? People call you Cappy?" That's like the whitest thing I've ever heard in my life, you know. And then, of course, when I was shaking that ass, you know, and they were like, what the hell is that? And that's when the one dude told me, "Yo, Cappy, you a freak," you know. And I had to explain to him.
"Cappy, you a freak, man."
I was like, "Yo, man, I'm out here doing this,
I'm like I said, I've watched it a couple times." And
it was so compelling to watch it more than once.
Yeah.
I'm just like, bam. Bam!
You a freak, man.
I'll tell you what I watched more than a couple of times, and I mentioned to you I wanted to get into this this whole, you know, discussion that Sedano and I have been having about the top three quarterback prospects, but I'll tell you something I've been watching.
What's that?
I saw you, Kirk.
What up?
You had a really, really busy Super Bowl, and I haven't seen you since.
Yes.
But you had a busy Super Bowl, and you were everywhere during the Super Bowl week.
And then
what I was most impressed with was afterwards, it wasn't it was an interview where you were being interviewed by Coach K. So Mike Krzyzewski, the former Duke coach, must have invited you to come on his podcast/radio show. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah.
But you were a guest of his, and he was interviewing you. I saw that a couple of times. I was like, "Yo, this is unbelievable."
Yeah, man, you know what? It was it's been a nice little run, right? Again, the rocket emoji, right? The bull run. It's been fun because at – the Super Bowl. So I didn't even tell you the whole Super Bowl story yet, Cap. That's what I'm saying. This has like been a time of catching up.
Yeah.
Right. But after the game, you know, I'm working for the NFL channel and doing player interviews.
This was on Sirius, right?
This was Sirius, yeah. And I'm getting ready to interview head coach Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friendship relationship with Travis Kelce. Trust me, gets me so much play around school. My daughter's middle school, elementary school. They know me because I'm friends with Taylor Swift's boyfriend. I have a picture that shows them I'm friends with Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
So that's amazing.
So they think I'm the coolest guy.
What is that relationship
for, like, a middle schooler?
Yeah, but what is that relationship?
Elementary school girl.
Yes. Other than you being a former player and him being a current player and you being a Raider and him being a Chief,
yes,
you're long retired by the time he comes into the league. What is the relationship between you and Travis Kelce?
So we've worked a couple of events together. And then when his first or second Pro Bowl that he made, he was just Travis Kelce. He wasn't the kind of the person that he is now.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember being
Cleveland
able to.
Zone.
I remember being able. I did a sit down with Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, who else? It was Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Kareem Hunt. They were all on one team.
Wow, yeah.
So we sat down and we joked. Oh, man, we had so much fun. But this was before Patrick Mahomes was even Patrick Mahomes. This is his first year starting. Remember, they got beat by the Kansas City. I mean, they got beat by the New England Patriots.
Right.
So they lose on Sunday. They're in Orlando on Tuesday. And so we're having just a great conversation, having fun. And he's just always so much respect. So we've kind of developed a relationship because basically he's played into the postseason every year since then.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 8 years in a row, and it's just like, or 7 years in a row, I should say. And so every time we see each other, it was just like, what's up, dude? He's like, yep, it's that time of year I get to hang out with Kirk. So we have that relationship. But after the game, Travis Kelce refused to do interviews. He didn't want to do any interviews on the field. He saw me, and I said, Travis, you already know. You already know what time it is. And now at this point, he's got his arm around Taylor Swift, and he's like, man. And then he's walking, and he's trying to just keep giving everybody the stiff arm. But then it got to a point where there was so much chaos, he wasn't going to be able to move. He saw me, and I just said, Travis, I just need two from you. He says, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't do it. So I asked him two questions, had the answer, you know, gave me great answers. But I dropped the ball, Cappy.
Why?
I dropped the ball.
Why?
Because there was this guy who was next to him, and the guy was Taylor Swift's bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have the picture, Cappy. I'm going to text you the picture. Maybe I'll have ESPN LA tweet it out as well, or X it out as well. But as I'm about to talk to Travis, Taylor Swift's right there. We have a moment. Me and Taylor Swift locked eyes.
You want to say you locked eyes?
Yes.
You made eye contact?
Oh, trust me. When you see the video, we locked eyes. And she saw that I had the microphone and I was ready. And Taylor Swift was like, yeah, babe, do it. Go ahead. Go ahead. And that's what got me the interview. So I got to give her credit, too. Thank you, Taylor Swift, for helping me get the interview
with
Travis Kelce. I'll show you. Here you go.
Good flex.
So next thing I know, I'm doing the interview, and I got done. And it was like this second when I finished with Travis, and I was like, do I dare put the microphone to Taylor Swift?
Yes, you should have.
But security man, Taylor Swift's bodyguard, had already gave me the stiff arm, told me no.
Yeah.
He had already swatted the microphone away.
Really?
And I was like, do I double back and just say, hey, she's at an NFL event.
Yeah.
This is football.
Yeah.
This ain't the Grammys.
Yeah.
This ain't a tour.
Like a little chuckle. Like, oh, come on, just one real quick.
Did he put his hands on you? Because, you know, they have been.
Yeah. He looked like he was ready, though. But okay. You got to look at me, though.
You could have taken him.
I know I probably could have, but then it would have been an incident. And now I'm getting banned. Now I'm going viral for no reason.
Yeah.
So
kicking Taylor Swift's security guy's ass.
Right. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want the Swifties coming at me.
Okay.
Okay. So.
All right.
Be all, oh man, you'd be canceled.
I dropped the ball because I didn't even attempt. Because I tried to raise the microphone off and it was like a whack-a-mole. You know, you remember the whack-a-mole game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
hit that thing like a whack-a-mole.
So you had two questions to Kelce. And then as you were about to go in to ask her something, the security guy went, this
whack-a-mole.
Dude's going to try and talk to her, and he's not allowed to talk to her.
Yes.
And he smacked the microphone away.
Yeah, she's not doing media. She's not talking, sir. I was like, okay, whoa, my bad.
Jeez, did she ever get to talk for herself or not? I guess not.
But if you notice, did you see her do anything? She did no media.
No, and actually, I kind of like that because it sort of made it seem like, hey, this isn't about me, which
correct.
I sort of thought was cool.
And you know what? At the end of the day, I 100% respected her decision of what she said she didn't want to do. She made it about Travis. And that was amazing. I don't know how we got on this subject.
Here's how we got on this subject, because I said to you that I watched your video you being interviewed by Coach K. So when Mike Krzyzewski is interviewing you, that's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal if we were to have Mike Krzyzewski on and we were interviewing him, but he actually invited you on to what he does, and he was interviewing you.
So, look, after that, you know, everybody was looking for, you know, Super Bowl content and people who are just at the Super Bowl. I got an email on Monday. Hey, Coach K has an availability on Friday. Would you come on his show to talk about this? I mean, on Thursday, would you come on and talk about the Super Bowl? I was like, dude, done. You tell me what time I need to be there. He says, all right, cool. Coach K, be ready at, you know, this time, and you just hop right on. I said, trust me, good. And we had a great conversation. We had about a 15-minute interview, and I got Coach K to get excited. He was like, man, Kirk, you're getting me excited, because I had so much respect for this legendary coach. I am sharing the microphone, the airwaves, with the legendary Coach Mike Krzyzewski. As we get ready for the NCAA tournament right now, I'm getting goosebumps that I had a chance. Sometimes you don't even realize what's happening when it's happening, Cappy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting interviewed by Mike Krzyzewski.
Right, right. You're his guest. Like, he's not your guest.
Yes.
Right. I know. Amazing.
And it was great. And I told him, look, I mean, I really could have went in depth. Like, Mike Krzyzewski, I grew up kind of hating you a little bit. Like, you were the Duke. But it's like, Duke was the private school institution that had, you know, the nice, clean-looking uniforms. And they played the way, you know, everything just always seemed to be easier for Duke. Right? It was just Duke. And then you just have a greater appreciation now. Kind of like the Patriots for so long, right? You realize that great coaches breed a great culture, and great culture brings great players, and then great players just brings out winning. Because we always hate the teams that win, you know, because we don't like to see teams win all the time, right? Like, I'm done. Like, look, I don't want to see the Nuggets win again. Nuggets are born. I'm like, you're pulling for somebody else in the NBA to win this year.
Well, they haven't won that much. I mean, come on.
Well, look, they're really good.
Yes, they are. I'm watching
really
it right now.
I know.
Hey, you're listening to KSPN Los Angeles, a Good Karma Brands radio station. Kirk Morrison is in for Sedano, and I want to get his opinion on the debate that Sedano and I have been having about Caleb Williams. We'll get to that. Plus, the Lakers and the Kings. We're leading you right up to the pregame. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. Yeah, what we all need to know is being brought to us by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes away from wherever you are. Kirk Morrison is in for Sedano.
Yes.
Brian Cohen is in for Big D. Big shoes to fill, by the way.
Speaking of shoes, man, I heard you wearing Black Forces now.
Well,
I heard you wearing Black Air Forces now. I'm scared of you, Cappy. I'm scared of you.
I wear Black Air Force Ones. I do have a couple of variations. I wear a pair of black Air Force Ones with a white swoosh. Okay. I've got the fully black ones like Antonio Pierce and like Mike Tomlin, like the full black ones. You know what I mean? Like I'm working in a restaurant in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying?
You do know what that means, though, right?
Yeah, it means I bring that black Air Force One energy.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, that's what I bring that.
Beto had to explain that to him.
Yeah, but once he explained it to me, I was like, yeah, I do. But you know what else I did, Kirk? I took a pair of black Air Force Ones and I took them to my guy.
Okay.
And he put like little Gucci signs all over them. So now they look really dope.
But they're not real Gucci. It's Fucci.
Right. And by the way, here's another thing I wear. I wear these really cool new Travis Scotts that are bomb, dude.
Okay. There you go. See, now I know. Because, they said, you know, Cappy is wearing black Air Forces now. And I said, whoa.
Yeah, he made a comment about his shoes, his all black shoes. And he was like, oh, they're not like, you know, all the way black Air Force One black.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, Cap wears those.
So yeah. I have on some all black shoes as well right now. But I have on black foam posits, the old school Anthony Hardaway classic shoe of the 90s.
Yeah, I was gonna say like mid-90s.
Yeah, mid-90s.
Let me take a look at it. Let me put it up on the desk. Let me see it.
I'm not a fan of like the mid-90s.
See this, most of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see that. That's
so
all right.
It's like I have black Air Force energy, but like
without the meanness.
Yeah, without the meanness. So like don't mess with me, but say hi, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Like, we good, but we're not cool.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but you got to understand, dude. I live in downtown L.A., so I walk the streets, man. People give you looks. You know, once they look you up and they look you down, once they look you down, they see them black Air Force Ones, they're like, okay, don't mess with him.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't mess with him.
Yep.
He's crazy.
All right, so, Cappy, what you need to know is that the House approved legislation earlier today that could force the sale of TikTok to a U.S. company or face the social media app being banned here in the States. The bill passed overwhelmingly by a 352-65 vote, upsetting many of the 170 million Americans using TikTok and, you know, all those influencers.
Mm-hmm.
Reasoning behind the legislation is because TikTok is considered by some in government to be a threat to national security. So I know you're just now getting into TikTok a little bit, Cappy, but it may be very short-lived.
Well, I heard this senator on CNN the other night, and she was saying that the People's Republic of China, that's how she kept saying it. She didn't say China. She said the People's Republic of China is taking our data, and they're going to use it against us, and it's national security violations, and we should all be worried about that. And I'm like, lady, look, man. I mean, like, we all got phones, all right? Everybody knows everything we're doing. You know, everybody's cross-tracking on apps. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows where you are all the time.
Very true.
I don't know, man. I don't really know that that TikTok and the People's Republic of China is any more dangerous of having my data than Google or Meta or anybody else for that matter. I'm not really so sure.
I'm all in. Sorry, influencers. Right? The people who are influencers, you gotta do something different. Because if they ban this here in the U.S., do you know how many people will be without employment? There are some people who are just, all they do is just shoot videos all day.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Just do videos all day. If they take away TikTok, there'll be an uproar. Uproar.
Well, theoretically, if they take away TikTok, everyone's going to have to move to one of the other platforms.
Right.
So
that's right.
I'm sure
who's
people
the
like Mark Zuckerberg are like, you know, I'm not saying there's anything shady going on there, but let's just say he does have a lot of money and, you know, people would just flock to Instagram.
The Zuckerberg.
Just saying.
I mean, listen, it's I have not really gotten into TikTok. And again, like, I'm not fearful of the People's Republic of China having my data because everybody else in the world has your data. So what the hell does it matter? Well, that's what you need to know. It's brought to us by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. All right. Kirk Morrison is in. We'll get to the Lakers and the Kings here as we lead you up to the pregame show with Alan Sliwa. But Kirk, let me ask you to jump into this conversation.
Yep.
So Sedano and I have been having this conversation now for the last couple of days. And on Wednesday of next week, 1 week from today,
yeah,
Sedano and I are going to go to the Caleb Williams private workout at USC. So you know how this goes, right? I mean, all these quarterbacks put on these workouts. I watched Bo Nix the other day at Oregon put on his private workout.
Yeah, no general manager in sight, by the way. Zero.
Yeah, I mean, they said that there were 70 NFL scouts, but yeah, I didn't see head coaches and I didn't
general
see
managers.
GMs. Mm-hmm. But I would expect everybody in the NFL other than like the Andy Reid will be in, you know, at USC next Wednesday.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm really going is because my college roommate is now the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots. And this is the first time in his career, Kirk, where he's going to be able to draft one of the top three quarterback prospects. And he's going to get that young kid and, you know, get him early, groom him, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm curious to see what happens next week. But Sedano is like set that Caleb Williams is the best college quarterback he's ever seen and that he is far and away the number one overall pick. Me, I'm saying, look, I watched a lot of Caleb Williams over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Not his first year at Oklahoma. I watched the last 2 years at USC.
Yes.
Heisman Trophy year, incredible. Yeah. Last year, went backwards.
No.
You can blame it on a variety of factors.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I did not see a lot of Jaden Daniels,
mm-hmm,
okay, because I didn't watch him at Arizona State. And honestly, when he won the Heisman Trophy, I was like, I missed this whole kid's career at LSU. I really did.
Okay.
I saw Drake May play a couple of times, one time in person, but I didn't walk away from that and go, wow, this guy's unbelievable.
I'm with you. Okay.
So I just want to hear what you think. Is Caleb Williams by far and away the best, and is he like an automatic home run superstar in the NFL?
I don't know if he's a superstar, but I think that his college career has shown he's the best quarterback. I'll go a step further. I thought he was the best quarterback in last year's draft. I thought he would have been taken number one overall, and it would have been a discussion for who was two, Bryce Young or, you know, C.J. Stroud for number mm-hmm. two for the Texans. That's kind of how I still feel that there's Caleb Williams, then there's a little bit of a gap, and then there's the rest of the quarterbacks. I've watched Jaden Daniels. I've broadcasted a game where he's at Arizona State, and then he goes to LSU. And I've watched him progress and become a much better quarterback under Brian Kelly at LSU. Drake May, I've seen him 4 times over the last 2 years with Mac Brown over at North Carolina. He's a great kid. You sit down with him. Football is in his background. You know, his brother played for the national champion North Carolina Tar Heels basketball team. Mom was an athlete. Dad, he's just one of those kids that, like, he is going to be – great at whatever he does, but when you get to the NFL, it's always a bit tougher. So I didn't see enough in college for me to say that he is going to light the league on fire. I do have this, and I shouldn't, Cappy. I need to stop doing this too. I need to stop looking at what colleges guys go to and having this stigma on the kind of quarterbacks that come out of that school.
Yeah, because I look at Drake May and I go, is he going to be the next Mitchell Trubisky?
Correct.
Yeah.
Or we look at Alabama. Remember, mm-hmm. it was like, wow, look at these Alabama quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Remember, especially over the last couple of years, Bryce Young, Jalen Hurts. Yeah, I still consider Jalen Hurts an Alabama quarterback because they were all there. But Tua Tagovailoa,
right.
Mac Jones.
Right.
Are we so sure that those quarterbacks are really that much better than they are? Jalen Hurts regressed last year. Tua, you know, the Dolphins still haven't paid Tua. That tells you all I need to know about Tua Tagovailoa. Mac Jones in 3 years is already the backup in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then Bryce Young. Oh, poor Bryce Young.
I know.
You know what I mean? Just like, I'll leave it there that, you know, next week at Caleb Williams' pro day or whatever, you know, I had a chance to interview him at the combine, Cappy, and my first time meeting him, you know, and talking with him, what's been on his shoulders in the last 2 years, the dude was the best player in college football, and he had to go back to school. So no matter what, it was always going to be difficult. You know how it is when you win the Heisman 1 year, the next year is not a year of, oh my God, I've never seen this before. It's like a year of, how can we tear you down?
Mm-hmm. Right? That's right. That's what I said. It's a tear you down season right
now. It's a tear you down season. And then mm-hmm. it was USC that had no defense, right? And then this was a team that expectations were to win national titles. And USC is not that right now. They're building toward that, but they're not in the likes of where Michigan is at. They're not in the likes of where those SEC schools are at. They're a team that can contend and they'd expand it playoff, but they weren't in the top four. And I thought that was put on Caleb Williams early in this season. But it still doesn't take me away from him being the best quarterback in his draft. The Chicago Bears don't draft him. And I know I'm looking around, people are saying, well, they shouldn't draft him. They should just keep Justin Fields. If they keep Justin Fields, Ryan Poles, and Matt Eberflus, they're fired. We're talking they're fired in October next year.
Yeah, well,
I promise you that.
Let me tell you, man.
If they don't draft him,
to me, that's exactly why the Chicago Bears will draft him, because they're fearful that what happens if he goes somewhere else and he becomes a superstar, and then everybody looks at us like, you idiots, and then they fire this guy. But I'm now they have screwed up this Justin Fields thing so badly that nobody wants Justin Fields right now.
But nobody ever wanted Justin Fields. that's the thing. Oh God, I get excited talking about this, man.
All right, well, let's do this. Hold that thought for 1 second. Let me hit this break for us, and then we'll come back and we'll finish this conversation. Hey, I want to remind everybody about our friend Avner Gatt. When you call Avner Gatt, 818-917-5256, you're going to have somebody answer the phone. Hello, that is Avner Gatt. Avner Gatt answers the phone calls. I'm giving you his personal cell phone number, okay? I'm telling you that when you call Avner, Avner answers the phone himself. And here's the deal. If you have ever been in this situation, I've been in it once, and my girlfriend was most recently in it. Here's the deal. Okay, here's Rachel's house about 2 months ago. Her water heater blew up, right? And water started to leak from the garage through the wall into the pantry closet in the kitchen and all throughout the kitchen. Now, the walls are all screwed up. The water heater's blown up. The floors are all destroyed, right? And she calls the insurance people, and the insurance people come out. Now, put yourself in the situation. The insurance people look at you and they go, hey, listen, we'll give you like $15,000 to fix this whole thing. But you know, because you've already gotten some estimates, this is a $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 job. If your insurance company is trying to pay you less than it's going to take to fix the job, you try and negotiate with the insurance company and you find out this is not happening. That's when you call Avner Gatt. Avner Gatt is looking out for you because Avner is a public insurance adjuster who is on your side. You know, negotiating with all these insurance companies is what Avner Gatt has been doing for all these years. You've been living your life. You've been paying your homeowner's insurance. Avner's been negotiating with insurance companies. He's got a 5-star rating on Yelp, on Google, on the Better Business Bureau, because people know that Avner Gatt gets it done. So if your insurance company that you're paying every month all of a sudden doesn't want to pay you what the job is going to take, and you've been paying them, and it's like an emergency in your house, hey, you're not going to get this done by yourself. You call Avner Gatt. He'll take care of things. Go onto his website, avnergatt.com, A-V-N-E-R-G-A-T, avnergatt.com, or call him, 818-917-5256. I'll slow it down for you guys. 818-917-5256. You're going to get that call, and Avner's going to be on the other end. Hello! Call Avner Gatt today.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Sedano and Cap on 710. Kirk Morrison is in.
I'm with a little baby.
Big D has hit the board because he's getting ready to take over for Laker pregame. Big
Jack
D,
Harlow,
welcome back to the show. We missed you today, dog.
Let Jack Harlow sing.
Jack Harlow, 26 today, huh? Okay.
You're older than me.
Yeah, happy
birthday. Go, Lindsay. Go, Lindsay. Shake that.
This is my jam.
Big D, did you listen to some James Taylor last night?
I actually did not.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I actually did not.
I actually did not.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's time for Dealer's Choice, and I want to talk a little bit about Lakers-Kings coming up with Slee. He's going to have the pregame show. But
Slee.
Kirk, you're guest hosting today, so you get Dealer's Choice. It's up to you, man.
Okay. What we talk about in this segment?
This is our last segment, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's up to you. This is all you, man.
Wow. I would say, what do we expect tonight from Lakers-Kings, man? Yeah. Oh, you know what? That is right. I forgot about. Thank you, Lindsay.
Kirk told me his Dealer's Choice earlier,
and I purposely didn't tell you, Cappy, because I thought it was. So this is a story that caught my eye, Cappy, and I was really surprised at some of the thoughts of Lindsay Baseball over here. But there was a story this week that came out about the NFL and about how some fans are going to have to amputate ligaments, whether it's fingers, feet, toes, all of that, because of they attended the wild card game between the Miami Dolphins at the Kansas City Chiefs, where temperatures were in the negative degrees, mm-hmm. negative temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, first of all, I hate to even hear the story because I don't want to hear anybody having to lose their limbs.
Never want to hear that. That's never a good thing.
Yeah. But at what point do I just say, you know what? It's too cold. Like, it's just too cold. I'm not going to this game. And I know my fandom for my team is like, oh, my God, I love my team. But I also have an opportunity to keep my fingers and toes.
You love your fingers more.
You know what? And then remember, the game was on Peacock. So did that drive people to go to the stadium to go to the game? And now guess what happens? Now, this is not everyone who attended, but there were some. So, Cappy, in your fandom,
yeah,
would you go to a game knowing that there's a possibility you may lose limbs?
Hey, let me tell you
going
something.
Or attending.
Listen, I didn't want to.
Your fandom.
I didn't even want to watch that game. Seriously, that game was so cold, I didn't even want to watch it. There was a series that Sedano and I were watching called True Detective.
Yes.
Dark Knight. I don't know what it was called. What was it called, Lindsay? You remember? True Detective.
Night Country.
Is this the new one?
This is the new one.
This is season 4.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll wait till they end. Don't tell me.
I hated watching it because in Alaska, there's a period of time where there's no sunlight.
Yes.
So it's dark 24/7.
Or something.
Yeah.
17 days of no sunlight.
I hated watching it because it was so dark and it was so cold. So anybody who goes to an NFL football game when it's like minus 35 degrees.
Come on, man.
Who now after the game loses a finger or a toe or whatever because of frostbitten conditions. Bro, that is on you. And by the way, the NFL, seriously, no joke, should probably think to themselves, you know, there is a point in the weather where we don't play football. Because in Buffalo,
correct.
Earlier in Buffalo, they didn't play that. They
it was
moved the
of
game.
Snow, though. It wasn't because of the temperature. It was
right.
Because
yes.
of snow.
But that's because it was so dangerous.
It was dangerous to get to the stadium,
well,
so they had to cancel the game and move it back. I get that part, but
we're talking
about temperature.
Sure, but like, okay, Chiefs
temperature.
Fans, it's like, okay, you've been there, you've done that, you've won a couple, you're getting up to the point where you're like the Patriots. Okay, like I could live without seeing like being at that game in person. However, as a Cleveland Browns fan, I would gladly give
what?
Probably
a hand?
Three fingers. Not an entire hand.
Not a whole hand.
I would give up three fingers.
Which ones?
To watch the Browns win the AFC championship. I would give up three fingers.
Oh, really?
Three fingers?
Yes.
Really? Does that include a thumb? Is a thumb a finger or not?
No, you can't give up the thumb.
I get to pick which three fingers.
Okay. I once shook a guy's hand, and I had no idea it was coming. I went to shake this guy's hand, and he was missing his three middle fingers. So he just shook my hand with his pinky finger and his thumb, and it was a really weird feeling. You know what I mean? Like, hey, man,
like
how you
that.
Doing? And he would, like, shook my hand, and the other three fingers weren't
freak,
there.
Man.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, man. So that was my dealer's choice. I just thought my fandom just could not ever take me there.
Yeah,
Cappy.
Me neither.
Could ever take
me there.
Could
take me there,
for sure. Not me. Not me.
You no chance, man. No chance. I mean, I went to a game a few years ago in Green Bay, and it was the Packers and the Chargers. And I was dressed for it, but it was so cold, I was like, forget this. I'm out of here. And I went up into the booth. Like, I went to where I could find warmth, you know?
Everyone else has that luxury, Cap.
Yeah,
well,
Cappy.
No, but
most
but
people
I,
don't.
Sorry, we don't have the access like Cappy,
well,
everyone.
Well, you know me. I just walk up. I'm like, yo, I'm in the house.
You sound
you know?
Like George when he was complaining he was calling a game and they didn't have a big enough space heater for him.
Hey, but I did a broadcast of the Broncos and the Ravens in the divisional round. This was Peyton Manning. This is the year before they won the Super Bowl. Mm. And it was the coldest day of my life.
Was this the game?
And
this
was this the game? The Joe Flacco.
The Joe Flacco throw to Jacoby Jones.
Right. Yeah, was it Jacoby Jones?
Yeah, Moore. Missed it. UCLA's Raheem Moore.
And so it took me months to thaw. Hey, listen, Lakers tonight and the Kings. Here comes the pregame. Lakers got to get this dub. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks, Kirk Morrison. Peace out, everybody.